Blog Talk Radio.
And greetings. Welcome to another segment of New Day, Resurrection and Liberation. My name is Empress Chi, and as usual, we thank you for taking the time to join us tonight. Wow, this has been a very energetic day, to say the least, and we're going to tell you a little bit about why I'm saying that. Very, very interesting kind of event that we just got the opportunity to come from. When I say me, I'm speaking of myself and Sister Basima, who was on our program, I believe it was Thursday night, I think so, yeah, Thursday night. And we're going to maybe talk with Sister Basima a little later on. She might be calling in, but also who went along with us tonight for the event, or today is the event that we attended here in Philadelphia. It was sort of another tribute to Dr. Khalid Abdul-Muhammad, and it was sponsored by the New Black Panther Party, and we had the opportunity to go there. And so I'm going to kind of give you a little report on how that went, at least the portion of it that we were able to look at and examine and be a part of. But before I do that, needless to say, I always give thanks and praises to our Creator, and we are always very appreciative of our freedom-fighting ancestors. Well, okay, where do I begin? Well, first let me say that, again, we attended the tribute and event today over at the Shanghai City Cultural Center here in Philadelphia, a very wonderful place. And, of course, we're going to tell you more about the Shanghai Center a little later on, because that is one of our self-determination centers that we want to make sure we're able to promote and communicate with and continue to put the word out about the Shanghai City Cultural Center. But the other thing we want to convey to you is that in having events, it's really in our best interest, when possible, to try to have events at Black locations. And again, that is what the Shanghai Cultural Center is, and we know we're very appreciative to have that available. Now, moving right along, today, again, we talked with many people who were over at the event, and the tribute to Doc was one that I feel was high-spirited and definitely had people motivated and so forth. But, of course, there are still many questions about his death. And that was something that was kind of examined, but at the same time not really looked at, to the extent that we had hoped. And it's okay, because at least what we know and agreed upon was that we would be able to do that at some other time. And that was kind of interesting as well. I'm going to let Brother Evan kind of give you that little bit of insight when we're ready to talk about that for tonight. Brother Evan is one of our brothers in support, and he'll be calling in a little later on to talk about, you know, how he felt about tonight and how things went. But, again, you know, we are very, very thankful to have been a part of the program, and we are perhaps even more thankful that Doc's spirit truly, truly lives on. I mean, I can't put it any simpler than that, and I'd be a witness to that. What we want to do right about now is share with you one of the speeches that Doc left us with. He left us with many, many wonderful speeches and presentations. But this is one that I think kind of hits the heart in a lot of ways, also because this was one of his last presentations as well. So without further ado, we're going to hear a few words from our brother, Dr. Khalid Abdul-Muhammad, and we give thanks and praises for him. Certainly, no more Negro stuff.
They have no understanding of the average reasoning person of the Black community.
Point number 10. You ready for that one? Point number 10. We want land, grant housing, education, clothing, just like peace. How many for that? We want land, grant housing, education, clothing, justice, and peace. And in the political objective, we want national liberation in a separate state or territory of our own.
Popular vote. We in the New Black Panther Party believe that the vote
being revolutionary and reverent. And the fight should be a constant. And we only use it on certain issues at certain times. For certain candidates, but stop being a white man's leader, getting in line to vote every time there's a thing. I mean, that's just, a revolutionary thing. Hey, on the top, have a here we go. We want to let everybody know how to educate the global justice and peace. And as our political objective, we want national liberation in a separate state or territory of our own, here or elsewhere, a liberated zone, New Africa or Africa, and a plebiscite, a what?
A plebiscite.
A vote. A vote. A what?
A vote.
A vote. A plebiscite to be held throughout the black nation, in which only we will be allowed to participate for the purposes of determining our real and divine destiny as a people. Free man, occupied nation, you can accomplish what you will, black power. We believe that the black man will focus on all of these 10 points and this program, this platform. And we close with these words. We believe that the white man has proven to be absolutely great. Disagreeable to get along with in
peace.
How many disagree with that? That the white man has proven to be absolutely disagreeable to get along with in peace. No one has been able to get along with the white man. All the peoples of color have been subjected to the white man's wrath. We believe that his very nature will not allow him to practice true sharing, fair, and equity and justice. Therefore, to the red man and woman, to the yellow and to the brown, we say to you, the same rabbit dog that bit you,
right.
Get up, black right. Power, black right. Power today.
Indeed, again, that was our brother, Dr. Khalid Abdul-Muhammad. Today, we again got the opportunity to visit, or to go over rather, to the Shanghai Cultural Learning Center. And with that, there was a powerful presentation that was going on. There was a lot of discussion, certainly focusing on the life of Dr. Khalid Abdul-Muhammad. And with that, of course, certainly the death of Dr. Khalid Abdul-Muhammad as well. And, you know, we really were concerned initially as to whether or not we would be able to really approach the issue of his death as adequately as possible. And, in fact, we were not, given the fact that it was an open forum and of course, a tribute to Doc, you know, just the time and the climate and so forth would not allow us to really approach what we know at some point has to still be looked at closer, and that is, of course, the report that was provided to myself personally in January, I believe, of 2004. There was a report that was provided which kind of went into what happened when Doc left from Washington, D.C. to go back to Atlanta and so forth and so on. We got the opportunity to, you know, really examine that report at that time and, of course, subsequently over the years. And for those of you who may be familiar with the report, hopefully you will give your comment or thoughts about it, but certainly if you have not seen it, then feel free to let us know, and we certainly can make at least certain portions of it available to you. But the bottom line is that it is truly suspect what we saw in the report, what we heard from the report, a lot of the suspect. And one of the things that we raised tonight at the forum was had there been an update since 2004 in regard to the report, and if so, what that was, and also, you know, just any additional information and so forth and so on. It was said that there was not any additional report from that, and of course we were told that, you know, if we wanted to discuss it further, we certainly could, and we do plan to do so. But for those who are not familiar with the report, what we can tell you is, because this has been made pretty much public by now, that Dr. Khalid was on the floor for several hours before anyone was called to be notified about his condition, to be contacted in order to get him any help. So once he fell to the floor, apparently, you know, with some kind of illness or with some discomfort or whatever, his alleged wife let him lay on that floor for several hours. Now, this was in the report, and one of the things that we raised tonight was the question of why New Black Panther representatives at the time, right after the death, why they so adamantly upheld the position of the wife, in that they made it very clear to everyone that, you know, she was not to be a suspect or not to be questioned or, you know, whatever, whatever. So these are some of the questions that kind of was raised tonight, just in addition to the overall attempt to try to provide some clarity. So what we're going to do is we're going to talk about that a little bit tonight. Not a lot, because I know many of you have not seen the report, and so we want to give you the opportunity to do that. Again, if you haven't seen it and would like to review it, at least some of the major portions of it that we're talking about tonight, then certainly give us an email, hit at nationalmwm@aol.com. Again, nationalmwm@aol.com. Or you can call us at area code 267-636-3802, 267-636-3802. The question still is, was Dr. Khalid Abdul-Mohammed assassinated, meaning did someone actually kill him, meaning did someone actually do something to bring about his demise? Before we go back to our live line for tonight, and I think as indicated, we're going to have Brother Evan to give us a kind of overview of tonight's session from his vantage point. But before we do that, we want to share with you some of Khalid Muhammad's speech at King College, which, of course, is the infamous speech for some that was about the demise of him leaving the Nation of Islam.
Why is it called the secret relationship between black and you? First of all, there are cookbooks, faculty and staff and some Jewish students, others from the community, who are passing out this wonderful note. I think we should go over this note and let this note help us to set the tone for the evening. Is that all right? Let me say to you before we even get started. If your feet get too hot for you, don't eat. Just raise up and stand it a little bit and sit back down. Everything will be all right. And to the white who are in the audience, let me say to you before we even get started, it's going to be a rough ride, buddy. It's going to be a rough ride. Better buckle in. Buckle up, guys. Buckle your seatbelt. If for any reason this auditorium becomes depressurized, automatically oxygen mask will fall from the ceiling. Please make sure to fix the elastic band around your head firmly and put the mask over your mouth and nose first, and then help the white person next to you. I didn't come to King College to tiptoe through the tubes. I didn't come to King College to put this book. I didn't
didn't come to King College to dilly-dally to beat around the bush. I didn't come to pin the tail on the donkey. I came to pin the tail on the monkey. The truth, whether you like that truth or not. I couldn't give a damn if you stood thousands on the sidewalk passing out leaflets before my people come in here this evening. We have a right to evaluate and examine the secret relationship between black and Jew. Good evening. This is the truth hour. And don't you touch that dial. Stay tuned in. Let us read November 29, 1993. A note from the King College Jewish Faculty and Staff Association. Shall we? To those attending the secret relationship between blacks and Jews, we affirm the speaker's constitutional right to offer controversial views. But we only ask that this audience use the same critical thinking and evaluation that would normally be expected in a college community. Without prejudging the content of this lecture, the book of the same title by anonymous author, the Historical Research Department, in parentheses, of the Nation of Islam, has drawn the repudiation of African Americans like, let's see what this honor roll is here. African Americans like Claire Spade, William Raspberry, Stanley Couch, Alice Walker, Ishmael Reed, August Wilson, Mel Riddle, John Lewis, Uncle Tom Bradley, Dickens David Dickens, Ron Brown, and the late Bacon Rustin. Y'all know Bacon, honey. What is Janene's friend? Bacon Rustin debated Malcolm X, El-Haj Malik El-Shabazz, Brother Overwalla. Brother Malcolm debated on the Ivy League campuses of white America with an eighth-grade education from the white man, but supreme wisdom from the old, from Almighty God, man in our midst with that old-time knowledge and ancient wisdom from the very beginning, the most honorable Elijah Muhammad. And Malcolm was able to handcuff scholars all over Pharaoh. Some crackers, that's what I told you. Some crackers with one PhD. Some with two PhDs. But when white folks can't defeat you, they'll always find some Negro, some bootlicking, buck-licking, buck-dancing, bamboozled, half-baked, half-fried, sissified, pokified, pasteurized, homogenized nigga that they can strut out in front of you. I guess you have one of these Negroes on campus a few weeks ago, some Negro named Louis Gates. Who let this Negro out of the gate? Henry Louis Gates. Malcolm debated Bacon Rustin for the white folks. Bacon took the position of the second woman, and Malcolm beat the hell out of him. And when Malcolm got through beating him, Malcolm said, if it's one thing I hate, is a white man who acts like a white man, and is a black man who acts like a white man. Malcolm said, if it's one thing I hate worse than a black man who acts like a white man, is a black man who acts like a white woman. And Malcolm spoke in that debate. Let us go. These esteemed ones from among us. Jesse Jackson, keep over alive. I am a tough body. I don't rightly know who the hell I am, but I am a tough body and keep hope alive. And scholars such as Richard Gates, Cornel West, Orlando Patterson, and Selwyn Kutcher, give me a break. These critics generally have found this book to over-rely on isolated information out of context, anecdotes without a historical or demographic perspective, and powerful figures without comparisons. For example, the name G. Wynn, or 11 Jewish Confederate Navy officers, for instance, to the large. Well, it's a Confederate Navy. Hell, we don't learn that. The biggest historical controversy rests on Jewish commercial involvement in the slave trade. This book claims that Jews were the main beneficiaries of the slave economy, but the established direct historical record finds only about 2% Jewish involvement. Don't misunderstand, guys. Our position, that was 2% too many. Still probably. All the Jewish slave traders combined did not buy and sell as many slaves as did the firm of Franklin and Armstead, the largest Negro traders in the South. Furthermore, the secret relationship has explicitly drawn on the rhetoric of white supremacists whose hatred for Jews is matched only by their contempt for blacks. The stereotypes of both minorities have a haunting similarity. The truth is that all of the European powers were involved in the slave trade, and it was supported by nearly all white Americans, including Protestants and Catholics, labor, business, North and South. And slavery in North America predated the first Jewish immigration by over 30 years. Moreover, a broader historical context finds only a minor role of Jews in the slave trade, but a profound role of Jews in the struggle for civil rights. Some even gave their lives, and many fought inside of southern jails. The record of working together for social justice much more, much broader than a negative incident of this book's focus. The whole record should not be forgotten. I want you to go over this with me, and now I want to attack the hell out of it. Let's look at it. They refer to my book from the Historical Research Department of the Nation of Islam, called, entitled, The Secret Relationship Between Blacks and Jews. Here they say that it is by anonymous authors called the Historical Research Department. Well, my brothers and sisters, this book was not written by anonymous authors. This book is written by all Jewish scholars, all Jewish respected writers, scholars, publishing houses, clergy. That is what you will find in this book. We have compiled from research from among all Jews what Jews have to say about who? About you. The book, as we open it, as we dare to open it on the King College campus, the information contained herein has been compiled primarily from Jewish historical literature. Every effort has been made to present evidence from the most respected of Jewish authorities. From the most respected of what? Talk back to me. Talk black to me. Don't be scared of Kathy here. Absolutely. Heather. Cindy. Bob. Bill. Larry. The hell with Heather. Present evidence is from the most respected Jewish what? What kind of authority? Jewish authority. Whose works appear in established historical journals are published by authoritative Jewish publishing houses. Now let's get started. Throughout the history of the practice, Jews and the African slave trade. Jews have been involved in the purchase and sale of human beings. This fact is confirmed by their own scholars and historians. Whose scholars and historians? In his book, A History of the Jews, Solomon Cracknell, a Jew, states that Jews, quote, were among the most important slave dealers. What did he say? They were among the most important what? In European society. Lady Masters writes that in the Middle Ages, quote, the principal purchasers of slaves were found among the Jews. They seem to be always and everywhere at hand to buy and to have the means equally ready to pay. Henry L. Feingold, and they're always looking for gold, stated that Jews, who were frequently found at the heart of commerce, could not have failed to contribute a proportionate share to the slave trade directly or indirectly. Solomon Cracknell, A History of the Jew, From Babylonian Exile to the End of World War II, Philadelphia, Jewish Publication Society of America, page 312. Lady Magnus outlines the Jewish history, and he goes on to tell you the different Jewish publishing houses that published it, but it also tells you that it can be found in the Jewish Encyclopedia of New York and London, and it goes on to tell you which edition, what page, what volume. Brothers and sisters, the so-called Jew, and I must say so-called Jew, because you're not the true Jew. You are a Johnny-come-lately Jew who just crawled out of the caves and hills of Europe just a little over 4,000 years ago. You are not from the original people. You are a European strain of people who crawled around on your all fours in the caves and hills of Europe, eating juniper roots and eating each other. You knew nothing about fire. You knew nothing about uterine science or nothing about evolving. You left your dad right in the cave with you, and you slept with your dad for 2,000 years, smelling the stench coming up from the decomposing body. You knew nothing about bathrooms and toilets and restrooms and sanitation systems. You did your number one and your number two, your PP and your two, which is the adult, right in the caves and hills of Europe. You slept in your urination and your defecation, generation after generation, for 2,000 years. You knew nothing about time. You knocked your animals in the head with clubs and boulders and bricks or whatever you had at that time. You made a chisel or found already that way and drugged them back to the cave, dragged them back to the cave, and all of you would just gut them and eat the fern and dirt, the filth, and suck the blood from the raw meat. And you still eat your meat raw to this very day. While you live like this, this black man, black woman, that you in a condescending way look down your nose at on the King College campus. You're looking at the sons and daughters of your married mothers and fathers to the ones who are in this audience. Why, you wouldn't even be here if it were not for the original black man and the original black woman. You are your mother, and you are your father.
All right, that is, of course, none other than Dr. Khaled Abdul-Muhammad. For those of you who may have some tender ears, then, of course, this is not the program or the show for you tonight, because we have to present to you the information as it is in order for you to get the kind of insight to what we're talking about and why, you've got to hear it. Now, this speech that you are hearing now is, in fact, the one
that is said to have really started something that might have been a spiral in a way that could have really set Doc up for assassination. This speech, as you can tell, I mean, it's just straight up. It hits everything that has been taught to him and to others throughout the course of a few years now. So none of this was secret stuff or things that had never been said or heard before. And for the most part, as you can hear in his presentation, a lot of references was given to what he said, where you can go and find it for yourself. So I think it's important that we are able to present this information in that way, because we do so from a historical frame of reference, we do so from an academic frame of reference, and we also, of course, do it from a Black liberation frame of reference, which, of course, is, in fact, self-determination. So we're sharing with you this evening this particular presentation because, again, this seems to be the time period that really started kicking some things off and led Doc to then begin to formulating his ideas and concepts through and with the New Black Panther Party, because at the time of this speech, he was still in the Nation of Islam. But from this speech is when he was sort of put on, I won't say house arrest, but I'll say he was kind of silenced in being the official representative of the Nation of Islam. So these things are things that we have to look at very, very closely, because in a way we did see history repeating itself to some degree. And many have talked about the correlation between Dr. Khalid Muhammad and El-Haj Malik al-Shabazz, also known as Malcolm X. But what we're going to do now is we're going to go to our live line, and we're going to talk to some of our brothers who also, again, attended part of the event that we were able to participate in. It, again, was held at the Shanghai Cultural Center here in Philadelphia, and it was sponsored by the New Black Panther Party. And Attorney Zulu Shabazz was the keynote speaker, I do believe that's what he was noted as. And we got a chance to hear him and also to ask a few questions that, again, raise this question around the death of Dr. Khalid Abdul Muhammad. So what we're going to do is go to our live line, and let's see if Brother Evan has a overview, or if not an overview, at least a in-depth view, which I know he does, of what we kind of saw tonight. And let's see if we have some very similar ideas about some things. Brother Evan, are you on this line?
Moffat time, Bruce. Can you hear me?
Yep, I can hear you loud and clear.
Okay, yeah, before I begin, I'd just like to make one point clear. Now, Empress has a habit of saying Mot Hotep as a greeting as opposed to Hotep, because Hotep, as we know, means peace. Mm-hmm. Ma'at Hotep states that there can be no peace without justice. Ma'at is the divine principle of balance. However, in my personal life, I have taken it to occasionally say Ma'afa Aten. We know that Ma'afa states to the African-American Holocaust. Ma'afa refers to a war. I say Tem as one of the Kemetic words that means to bring to an end or complete, meaning that it is time for us to step up and complete or finish the assault that is taking place against our people, and that is domestic and abroad. Now, just to deal now. Am I good? Can I go on?
Oh, absolutely.
There's just a couple points that I just want to say, and then I'm going to let it go, and I would love to hear what anybody else has to say on this line. But just a couple points, and I'm not going to get too in-depth on in certain specifics. I'm not really going to call no names out there or nothing like that, because that kind of really goes against certain principles of mine, at least at this time. Certain things I will just kind of put your business out there. But I want to really get across to our people to not sort of get caught in the pizzazz of certain things. See, a lot of times we get caught up with things that look good. You know what I mean? For instance, we're attracted to bright lights or sparkles, things of that nature, or even that unhealthy piece of cake that you know you shouldn't be eating, but it got that cherry on top and it's glossy, it looks good. I don't know if there's necessarily anybody around that'll know this reference, but the cake is a lie. And that's something that comes out of my generation. We say the cake is a lie. It doesn't exist. We as a people got to stop getting caught up in the pizzazz of certain things and really ask, what is the ultimate objective? See, a lot of us get caught up in certain things, and we don't really have a purpose or aim, or it kind of gets diluted or whatever the case. We kind of go around aimlessly. You know what I mean? Don't get caught in the pizzazz of certain things. It's all well and nice to, you know, have music to go on or wear a certain style of dress, whether that be military style or dashiki or whatever the case may be. But let's get one thing clear. The ultimate objective is to end and overthrow the system of oppression that's being imposed on our people. If you're not doing any of those things, then you're not doing anything, and you really just need to, I don't even want to say step aside. Everybody talks about step aside. You need to have something done to you, but I'm going to leave that alone. We have to get institutions. I don't know how much more clear we can make this. Institutions. What is an institution? An institution is an establishment that provides services or goods to a people. An educational institution, a housing institution, a transportation institution. How many times are we going to go along with the same kind of things? Now, again, don't get me wrong. I understand that, you know, music has always had a place in the movement. Music has always had a place in pretty much the hearts and the souls of African people. But at the same token, how many songs or raps or ciphers and all this other stuff are we going to do about liberation as opposed to just getting liberation? I mean, after a while, this all just becomes talk. I mean, the radio programs, the music, the YouTube videos, all this other stuff, it's ridiculous. It needs to stop. We get caught too much up in the pizzazz of things and not just getting the mission accomplished. That's the one thing I want to say on that topic. The other thing, just certain things that I noticed, jealousy in the movement. Are you serious with me? Jealousy in the movement? But I don't even really know how to deal with that issue because there's so many things wrong with that. But I don't understand how you can be jealous of someone in the movement because, again, to a certain extent, at least if you're doing it right, there ain't really too much glamorous about the movement. You know what I mean? You pretty much make a lot of sacrifices for other people. You don't get a chance to do certain things. You probably wind up getting assassinated. You know what I mean? Lots of things go on. But jealousy in the movement, how can you possibly be jealous of someone that is going to bat for you, that's trying to do something? A lot of people, I'm just going to be honest, are insecure. Let me say that again, insecure. And you know what? Mm-hmm. There's nothing wrong with that. That's the first thing that they teach you about any battle or any war that you go into. You're going to be afraid. You're supposed to be afraid, okay? Fear keeps you alive. That's why there's live fire drills done, because it takes time even for soldiers to get acclimated to the sounds of gunshots, you know what I mean? But you have to go through that. If you see somebody else in the movement or whatever the case may be, and, you know, they got some kind of whatever, I don't really know what people be jealous of, but if they got whatever going on, instead of being jealous about that, why don't you take a hard look at yourself and maybe try to figure out what you can do to sort of get what that person has. Not necessarily that always means that what that person has is something that you should be striving to obtain. Because a lot of times, like I said earlier, we get caught in a lot of pizzazz. It's all fluff. Things don't have substance. It's like the food we eat today, like potato chips. You can eat potato chips, you stuff yourself, you'll die. Ain't no nutritional value. Some of the Pan-African stuff, you can eat all you want, but guess what? Mm-hmm. As we move forward in 2012, some things will be happening to you, and I'll leave that at that. you know what, and just to continue on that thing of pizzazz, And I say this as an up-and-coming graduate of Penn State University, as someone who is profoundly involved in academia, had written a few dissertations, things of that. You know, I'll leave it at that, not to really bump myself up. But we, people, we kind of had this thing, this leadership complex, or I don't know what you call it. You know what I mean? Where we get so involved in leaders per se. You know what I mean? Like part of that was even the socialization, that brainwashing that we got from that Christianity mess, looking for Jesus Christ to come and save you, which doesn't make any sense because that goes directly all against the principles of Ma'at. You know, how somebody else going to atone for you? That doesn't go down like that. But not to get sidetracked, we get into this leadership complex where, that's not to say that we don't have great heroes and sheroes in the black race, whatever ethnicity, whatever you want to call it. We black. You know what I mean, that's why that word black is so great and inescapable. Not that doesn't exist, but we can't get so overly caught up in some of these things that we don't progress ourselves as an individual. See, the movement is composed of individuals. You know what I mean? We have to be prepared where if one of us falls or whatever the case may be or can't continue to function, that somebody else is able to step up. Somebody else is able to step up after them. Somebody else is able to step up after them. If you're not in a position where you pretty much are trained in how to continue something and in continuing one of those institutions, basically those things that we need for survival, I highly, highly recommend that we start pick up a book, anything, and start trying to figure that out. It's not very complicated. You know what I mean? Again, our people, we get sort of washed up in this academia thing. Like, you know, this person has a degree here, and, you know, this person has a doctorate here, whatever the case may be. And we let these individuals talk down to us or berate us, things of that nature. And it's completely unnecessary. Don't get caught up in the pizzazz of things where, you know, it's almost like, to a certain extent, intellectual domination. Because some of these individuals that are coming out of these colleges and universities and talking certain mess but doing other things, you better believe that they know better. And that's why I really have a problem with them, because they know better. There's some people on the street that, you know, for whatever reason, maybe just, you know, got some things messed up. But there's certain individuals, please believe me, that know what they're doing. And know that they're misleading our people. And then another thing I just want to touch on again, this is just certain things that just came to me while we were at the event. And again, you know, it doesn't necessarily have to be the new Black Panther Party or anything like that. I'm not talking necessarily about any one group in particular. I'm just talking about common themes. And the biggest common theme that I really like to stress to our people is, a group of idiots together doesn't make a genius. I don't know if anybody else can dig that. You know what I mean? Just because you put a bunch of people together does not necessarily mean that you will be productive. I could throw together a whole bunch of scraps of metal. That does not mean that I will have an engine. Okay? If you don't have a specific goal, or and our meetings or whatever the case may be, or ciphers, whatever. If you don't have some specific goal and you can't sit down with people and outline exactly how you're going to go about achieving that goal, then you bullshit. Excuse my language, but I mean, let's be real. How many times are we going to keep talking about these same issues for another 2,000 years? Come on, it's ridiculous. And I think I'm just going to end at that note, but I'll definitely be on the line. And if anybody has any comments about what I said or anything like that, you know, I'm here. I welcome a debate. I'm all ears. And just speaking on that, on just welcoming debate, I just think it's very interesting how certain people that claim to be about black liberation or the struggle, whatever the case may be, and claim that they just love black people so much and they can't stand that cracker devil and all that other stuff, right? How they can be a little bit more aggressive, or a little bit more bold when addressing one of the people that they claim to love so much, but when it comes to getting out in the streets and really dealing with the cracker, we don't see that same boldness. You know what I mean? That same thunder in your voice. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
You claim you love black people so much and all this other stuff, and we all family and here and everything like that. But shit, the atmosphere up in certain venues is more tense than I have. Shit, being up at State College University, the KKK headquarters of Pennsylvania. So yeah, you know what? I'm just gonna leave it at that. I'm just gonna drop off. I welcome any comments, questions, concerns, cause I'm up tonight.
All right, family. Well, you heard Brother Evan, and if any of you have a comment, by all means, please push one, and I will get you on. In the meantime, we're going to go back to listening to a bit more of Dr. Khalid Abdul-Muhammad. This is a particular lecture that we are focusing on tonight, and of course, this is the one that he did at King College, which is the one that notably kind of changed the course of things for him and his role as the national representative to Mr. Farrakhan for the Nation of Islam. This is the lecture that really created the so-called controversy. And again, as you can hear or have heard in the presentation, he put some names out there. People who obviously felt that what he was saying was stuff that he shouldn't have been saying. And so, you know, we'd like to know, what do you think, okay? And what do you think about some of these people who, in fact, seem to, have something to say about this in such a way that it really, again, may have set the tone for his murder? We know that the reports say that he had a brain aneurysm or high blood pressure or some other things, but what do you really think happened? What do you think could have happened? Should we have accepted so easily what the medical reports said? Should we have accepted so easily what people said? What do you think? Somebody of this nature... True, he may not have been getting all the rest that he should have or whatever, but does that mean we should so readily accept some kind of medical condition as opposed to looking at it closer? Let's talk about that some more. But in the meantime, let's go back to Dr. Khalid Abdul-Muhammad at King College.
You looking at the sons and daughters of your very mothers and fathers to the white Jew in this audience, while you wouldn't even be here if it were not for the original black man and the original black woman. You are your father and you are your heart. Not only are we your mother and father biologically and genetically and historically, but we are the father and mother of all of the disciplines, all of the sciences, everything that you've been in civilization on. Why is it a secret relationship? It's a secret relationship because you have lied to us all this time. You have lied to us. Now, one man born from Sandersville, Georgia, a little black man named the most honorable Elijah Muhammad, raised up by God in the midst of the black people of the world, but in particular in the midst of the black man and woman here in the hells of the United States of America. Was Elijah Muhammad God's man, his messenger, his Messiah in our midst? And now he is shaped and anointed and appointed by God's command and commission. Was Honorable Louis Farrakhan, whose mission now is to open our eyes, to wake us up, and to teach us the truth after we've been lied to for so long. The so-called Jews, let me cover that before I get too far. Let's go to the Bible. Is it all right? Some of you have put this book down. But the Bible is a roadmap to our liberation and salvation, if properly understood. From Genesis to Revelation, the Bible actually has our history. We are living in the Bible right now, brothers and sisters. We are walking on the pages of Scripture. The late night news, the early evening news, the headlines of the newspapers and magazines can be found right in this Bible. But you must go in the Bible with a proper understanding. Otherwise, you'll go in a booth and come out an even bigger booth. The Bible is written in parables and symbols and metaphors and similes. And someone must uncover the parable, the symbol, the metaphor of a simile, so that we must understand the pitfall and the snare that the white man has added to the book. Everybody got a version. Scofield version. Some cracker named Scofield. Dewey version. Another cracker was named Dewey. King James version. Here's a sister. Can you name a version of the Bible after a screaming sister? The Shanae of his day. The Wanda of his day. God does not name holy books after homosexual. Khalid Muhammad came on our campus and insulted the Jews and the whites and the homosexuals. You're all going the same group together. Didn't come here to take no prisoner. Didn't come to take no prisoner. And if you wouldn't have been so silly standing out on the sidewalk, passing out flyers, calling yourself with this passive aggressive punk protest, I probably wouldn't even mention you that much. But the students chose this subject because they're catching so much hell here under you on the King College campus and in the surrounding Jewish area. A Jew stronghold. But you're weak tonight. You won't come in and face me on the book. You stand on the sidewalk like a sissy. You hide in the dark like a punk. But you won't come in and face me on the book. I went out personally and invited you to come in. And you shook in your shoes and peed in your book. You want to lie. Say whatever you want to say. Heard a lot about me, but you haven't heard of me. But I'm here, bam, damn, in your face. Straight up. Let's look at the Bible here for a minute and see what we can come up with. Let's go to, for a second, let's go to the book of John. Is that all right? John, the 8th chapter, starting with the 31st verse. All right? Then said Jesus, who's talking? Who's talking? Let me stop right now. When I say Jesus up here, I'm not talking about those blonde hair, blue eyes, pale skin, buttermilk, complexion, pepper, wood, black, and Christ. When I say Jesus up here, I'm talking about the Jesus that the Bible says his body would be like jasper. Another scripture says his body would be like pearl. Another scripture says his body would be like fine wax, as though it had been spun in an oven. It says he would have hair like lamb's wool. I'm talking about that nasty hair. I'm talking about that good hair. Before you cried and it died and it laid to the ground. Before you got your scary curves. Before you got your temporary purpose. Before you got your blonde wig running around King College, tell my blonde, have more fun. And you're not having no more fun. The Bible says Jesus would have messy hair. So where did these pictures come from with this stringy hair, straight hair, blonde hair, blue eyes, pale skin, buttermilk complexion, pepperwood cheeks? The white man got a God complex. Pope Julius II. Who? alone. And I ain't talking about no teenage mutant ninja turtles. Pope Julius II, commissioned Michelangelo to change Jesus from black to white. His hair from nappy and kinky to straight, weak, and straight. So now we have a white chief. But the Bible says, I'd be here until the throne was cast down. And the Ancient of Days did sit. And it goes on to tell you that he would have hair like lamb's wool, and his body would be like fried grass. Get it up. There are white people throughout different sections of Europe to this very day who make their prayers in front of a black man and a black chief. Go to the Vatican in Rome with the old no good pope. You know that cracker. Somebody need to raise that dress up and see what's really under there. When the old pope was shot, he didn't pray in front of no white Mary. Life magazine, one of the big magazines, showed him kneeling down, making his prayers in front of a black Mary and a black baby Jesus. And he wasn't in no hurry to get checked out of here. Somebody needs to pick up Christ, the right hand of God. That he's going instantly to heaven, to paradise. But how come when they shot that cracker, he didn't say, they called in the best doctors they could get. Because he wasn't anxious to go anywhere. Let's look at it. You with me? Let's look at this woman. Look at it. Brothers and sisters, as I move beyond that point back to John, the 8th chapter, the 31st verse. Then said Jesus to those Jews who believed on him. He said, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. The Jews answered Jesus and said, how sayest thou that we shall be made free? We have never been in bondage to any man. Jesus goes on to say to them, and they said to him, we be Abraham's seed, and we have never been in bondage to any man. Jesus answered the Jews and said, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committed sin is the servant of sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the son abideth forever. And if the son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. I know that you are Abraham's seed, that Abraham is called the father of the nation. But you seek to kill me. Who is Jesus talking to? He said, you seek to kill me because my word has no place in you. Jesus said his word has no place in the Jews. Was that Elijah Muhammad who said that? Was it Louis Farrakhan who said that? Was it the little student of theirs, Khalid or Qadir, who said that? No, it said Jesus said, my word has no place in you. He goes on to say, I speak that which I have seen with my father, and you do that which you have seen with your father. So Jesus stopped playing the puzzle with him. He started talking about their dad. He said, yo, we got different daddies. They answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. Jesus said unto them, what did he say? What did he say? What did he say? If you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. But you seek to kill me, Jew, a man that has told you the truth, which I have heard of God, that Abraham would not do. You do the deeds of your father. Then the Jews said to Jesus, we be not born of fornication. We have one father, even God. You know how they quick to say that. One people, one planet. Tell you didn't want to share it with us until they got all out of whack. Until you had messed up yourself, until you had destroyed much of the rainforest, until you had tampered with the delicate balance in nature, pollution the very air that even you have to breathe, pollution multiculturalism, buddy. We need a divine for diversity.
Give me a break to go at home, buddy.
But you seek to kill me, a man that has told you the truth which I have heard of God. This Abraham would not do. You do the deeds of your father. And they went on to say, we be not born of fornication, we have one father, even God. Jesus said unto them, kill God. What did he say? What did he say? Kill God, for your father, you would love me. Now that preposition is a strong preposition. If God were your father, you would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech, Jew? Even because you cannot hear my word. You are of your father, the devil. What did Jesus say? You are of your father, the devil. And the lust of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he's a liar and the father of the lie. Jesus started playing the devil with the devil. For the Jew, the so-called Jew, you are of your father, the devil, and the lust of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning. He abode not in the truth because there's no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he's a liar and the father of the lie. Now, Jesus, clearly, John the 8th chapter, beginning with the 31st verse, going down to the 44th verse, tells us that these people are of the what?
Yeah.
Of the devil. Let's go to the book of Revelation. Is it all right? Let's go to the book of Revelation. I sure wish those esteemed professors would come in out of the cold and take this whooping in person. I got something for you, Professor. Professor Goldberg. That old thing hiding out there. My leader sought dialogue with you. My leader did everything to show that he is a man of character, a man of principle, a man of God. My leader gives it to you to touch light, to shine the light with you. But you like the way of all of the ancient wicked rulers and slave makers and slave masters. You cannot accept truth coming from one of the lowly slaves from New York. So though he shines a light, a torch light in America, it is a torch light for that people that the Bible says, that people who have walked in dark, but who would see a bright light arise and shine for that light income. So he shines a torch light for us, but it is a torch light for America also. If you would adhere to what he is saying, to God's warning through his messenger and through his divine warning in your midst, then maybe you could have an extension of time. But because you like ancient Pharaoh symbolically in Scripture, your heart is hard. You cannot hear the warning of the warner in your midst. Revelation 3:9. Revelation what? Write these scriptures down. We also had John, the 8th chapter, starting with the 31st verse. Go on on down to the 44th verse. Well, now we'll go to John, to Revelation by John the Revelator. But Jesus is in here too. 3:9, you ready?
All right, we're going to pause here. And normally, as you probably know, we don't really get into a lot of playing or talking about religion or scripture or anything like that. And it's not something that you're going to hear or know that we do here at New Day. But what we wanted to do was to show you or to let you hear how very, very knowledgeable, how very articulate, how very on point Dr. Khalid Muhammad was, in that he was such a debater, such an orator, and certainly in his presentations, things that he talked about, he was able to connect you again with what he was saying, and that a lot of what he was saying wasn't something that he himself came up with or originated or whatever. He gave information that is, or shall I say, that has been provided through churches, mosques, and other religious, so-called religious institutions and educational facilities and so forth. So the bottom line is that while, you know, there were so many who wanted to point out how fiery he was and some of the things that he would say and how he said it and all of that, which is, of course, quite true. I certainly would not try to deny that Doc knew what to say and how to say it. But the other point that often is not said, and that is how he often connected what he was saying or the things that he was conveying and bringing light to, was also those things that many others were saying also. It's just that you were able to now see it from a frame of reference that would benefit you to a greater extent. I'm going to go back to our live line and talk some more with Brother Evan, because one of the questions that came to my mind was, in listening to Brother Evan about today, after we engaged or was involved in today's activity, and I got a chance to provide a presentation or a question, and Sister Basima Mube, who was on our show on Thursday night, which of course was the actual Earth Day of Dr. Khalid, she too got a chance to really raise some questions and some concerns, more so that than really asking specific questions, but certainly indicating that there were many concerns that need to be addressed. And the response to that was, for the most part, receptive, in that Attorney Shabazz did say that he would be very willing to talk with us, or with anyone, as a matter of fact. Attorney Shabazz also talked about how he felt in terms of a video that is being circulated or that has been circulated that kind of makes a reference to him as it pertains to his possible role in Dr. Khalid's death. And he did indicate that he really wasn't too happy about that whatsoever. And I'm sure that at some point we'll hear more about that at some later time as well. But for now, we really want to focus on the report that was issued. We're going to talk a little more about that as we proceed in tonight's program. But, again, I want to go back to the line and talk to Brother Evan for a minute again and just ask the question, because he made some very, very, I think, on-point comments and assessments. And the next step or the next question has to be, so what can we now do? Knowing what we know, having made these various evaluations, what can we literally now begin to do to make certain that we move forward and try to address the concerns that we have as it pertains to what we see happening in the movement? But I mean, what are some of the things that you think we can really not just talk about, but literally begin to do, to put into motion tomorrow, the next day, or in the very near future?
Hey, can you hear me? Can you hear me, person?
Mm-hmm. Yep, I got you.
Okay. The main thing that I really see is really something that you push a lot would be a plebiscite.
Mm-hmm.
Well, for individuals that aren't too familiar with that term, we could just simplify that and just say a conclave, a mutual meeting where we can all get together and discuss certain things. Now, for instance, one of the things that came up, and you know what, and I'll put it like this, not only just discuss things, but specifically in these meetings, lay down some sort of code or procedures, whatever the case may be. Now, one of the things that came up during the meeting tonight was that Mr. Shabazz said that he would be more than happy to sit down with the various organizations that we have, such as the Huru Movement, the Universal Negro Improvement Association, the Universal African Movement. He's more than willing to sit down with the various organizations. And one of his highest goals, one of his largest dreams is a provisional government. So, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Since we have that, let's move forward with that. For instance, even when dealing with the issue of who killed Dr. Muhammad, Dr. Khalid Muhammad,
mm-hmm.
it's very difficult to address an issue like that pretty much when you're on someone else's turf. You know,
mm-hmm.
for instance, as a speaker, anybody who's involved in an oration knows about when you have a favorable crowd, when you have an unfavorable crowd, and how that
mm-hmm.
that affects certain things. You know, I mean, there needs to be a neutral form that all respective parties can come and pretty much address any questions or whatever the case may be that they have. And that
mm-hmm.
needs to be a continuous thing, okay? We understand that various organizations may have their own little tiny ideology about certain things, because honestly, I mean, it's all about, at least my understanding was that it's all about getting free. I mean, that's what it should
mm-hmm.
be. So despite
right.
maybe our different strategies on how to obtain that, there definitely needs to be some sort of forum that we come together and not only discuss things, but have procedures. For instance, when someone dies under suspicious circumstances, how that is to be addressed, you know
right.
what I mean, what kind of reports are to be made, things of that nature, so that we don't keep having to rehash the same things. I mean, it's almost like kindergarten stuff almost. You know, something happens, and then everybody's just taking shots back at each other. And this is family.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking about different organizations. We all take shots at each other because that's what pretty much the Beast wants. One of my favorite movies, Lord of War, which I recommend everybody sees, and it talked about that pretty much the key to this thing, the whole secret thing, is not to fight at all. You know, you keep everybody
mm-hmm.
else fighting. So there definitely
mm-hmm.
needs to be one of the greatest things I see for us as a people to move forward is a form. And this needs to be a standard thing. I don't care if it's, you know, every month, every 3 months, whatever, but we need to meet, get an initial one down, and figure out how we're going to get the various organizations, just like you would any government. That's all. I mean, I don't understand why we can look at the white man's things with such high regard, like NATO or the United Nations,
mm-hmm.
like it's a big thing. All that is a bunch of, excuse my language, all that is a bunch of fools sitting down together and discussing things.
Mm-hmm.
So why can't we as black people get together, sit down, and discuss certain things? You know, we have our different movements, the more scientific, whatever case may be, these various things. Okay, that's fine. We need some kind of way that we can sit down together, put codes, put issues, put very concrete things down on paper, and we all adhere to it. And in addition
mm-hmm.
to adhering to it, we also need to have pretty much checks and balances, some series of repercussions if these codes are not followed. It's
mm-hmm.
all about my balanced justice. You know what I mean?
Yep.
We all stay on the track that we're supposed to be on. We can get the freedom.
Mm-hmm.
But if we keep messing
mm-hmm.
around doing all sorts of craziness, we'll never get there. And as a matter of fact, just dealing with the video of who killed Dr. Muhammad, as a matter of fact, I was looking at a little bit of it now. And just to say certain things, I mean, again, I said I wasn't going to really call anything out, but that's really what I was talking about earlier. Because Mr. Shabazz says that the person that made that video, we need to go get the Negro. They want to go get him.
Mm-hmm.
You more gun. I mean, I guess that's that lawyer stuff. On the one hand, you say one thing, but on the other hand, you say another. On the one hand, you say that it's good that there's investigations and that we should all look into certain things and that, you know, there needs
mm-hmm.
to be a certain transparency. But on the other hand, you say the Negro that made the video, you want to go get his ass, right?
Mhm. Mhm.
You more gung ho about getting the nigga that made the excuse. Ooh, excuse me. I should not say that word. But you more hype about getting the brother that made the video, right? Than you are about getting out here and maybe getting some homes for these women that need them, or getting some sort of education system together so that our young brothers aren't going down the wrong path. I mean, again, we've not necessarily with Mr. Shabazz, but we've talked to had a chance to talk to certain individuals in the organization about trying to get certain things together for the community. And I mean, it's wild. Just I don't know what you would call it, but just the level that that some people are operating on is just crazy. And also, just again, you know what I mean? Just to put certain things out there, and you know, Empress or anybody else at the event can verify for me, because I don't want to put words in anybody's mouth or misrepresent, you know, anything. And in any foul manner, but Brother Shabazz or Mr. Shabazz says he's so adamant about the and he's very passionate about the Who Killed Dr. Muhammad situation, and he says to everybody out there, that's everybody out there, that you know, if anybody really suspects him or anything of that, he'll put his guards to the side and fight you one on one. So you know, anybody that just know that option's out there. Anybody that is really curious about what happened, and that's his word. He'll put his guards to the side, and he'll fight you one on one to the death. So it is what it is. But again, I apologize.
I mean, that's what this forum and open mic is for, and our topic is the life and death of Dr. Khalid Abdul-Muhammad, and we can only get to I won't say the root of it, but certainly we will not be able to get as much insight as we need if we do not discuss it, if we do not talk about it candidly and very unapologetically even, because, I mean, that's the way Doc was. And so certainly, you know, we would have to do that as well. This I feel strongly is what he would want us to do. And as I said tonight, you know, I know without a shadow of a doubt that the spirit of him exists. It definitely is amongst us. And the questions that we raise about his death is appropriate. And that's why I let it be known earlier tonight that when I personally raise these questions about his death, I'm not doing that to create any unnecessary discord or anything of that nature. But not only do I have the right to ask these questions, as I see it tonight, I'm qualified to ask them.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And as you saw, there was no doubt in that. There was no there was nothing to be said about that. Because while Attorney Shabazz is the present chairperson, he certainly knows the truth. He certainly knows and knew that Doc's appreciation for my work and position was exactly what it was, and there's no denying that. And I had to make sure that others knew that, because over the years I had heard some things from some of the members of the New Black Panther Party making comments or what have you that were not only inappropriate, that were really untrue. And so tonight put it straight that if there were any ideas that my views and values about him and anything that was connected to him wasn't genuine, nor if you thought that it wasn't something that had merit, and may I dare say wasn't qualified then or bona fide, then think again. And so I had to put it out there like that, so that those who are members of the New Black Panther Party and under the direction of Attorney Shabazz could hear from his own mouth that, in fact, my relationship to Doc was exactly what I had said it was. So that was put to rest, hopefully, and for those who thought something other than that, you know, maybe now they can either just keep their mouth shut or just mind their own business or whatever. But the point being, we are able to now move forward. I really felt a little concerned, Brother Evan, because in talking with some of the people after my presentation, and Sister Basima's presentation, I could tell that they were concerned. Wow, I just got noticed that. Wow, I forgot. We only have 1 hour tonight. I just put it for 1 hour tonight. I just got noticed that we only have 1 minute. So, family, I thank all of you for tuning in. That hour went so quickly. My goodness. But, Brother Evan,
yes, one thing for you, though. I'm just going to put it out there real quick. One of the reasons why we're any black leader or anybody really that case that dies should really be treated with suspicion. There's a documentary that you can get on YouTube called How the FBI Sabotaged Black America, which was done by, I believe, Gil Noble. And there's a pretty much an FBI, CIA informant on there called Darth Hart Perry. He's a black informant who infiltrated the some of the movements that we had during the 60s, and he pretty much goes and explains their whole operational procedures. So just throw that out there real quick. Check that out.
Wonderful. Brother Evan, when you get the chance, forward it to me so that those who may be interested, if you hit me at nationalmwm@aol.com, we'll get it out to you. Family, we thank all of you again. We will continue this dialogue, but certainly we will remember Brother Dr. Khalid Abdul Muhammad, and not only remember, but embrace his work in Aluta Continua. Ma'at Hotep.
Peace.
Hey, that's like